Blog Talk Radio.
The scriptures clearly teach is that we, as believers, should know history. God tells us in passages like Romans 15:4 and Isaiah 43. He tells us also in 1 Corinthians 10 and Hebrews 11 and Psalm 73 and 78 and so many other places. He says to recall the former days, to remember the former times. Throughout the scriptures, we see that when a people remembers their history, they behave differently than when they forget their history. We see that even recovering histories, in the case of Josiah and the temple, leads to a national revival. Or in the case of Esther and Mordecai, the use of history by the king one night kept Mordecai from being hanged on the gallows and thus preserved the nation. So history is huge. God is into it. But in America, we don't do a good job of knowing our own history, and we need to. The scripture says that his people perish for lack of knowledge. We've been taught in America for years that what we're about is economics. We formed this nation because of taxation without representation. We need to know our history better. Taxation without representation does appear in the Declaration of Independence, but it's only one out of 27 issues that appear there. There's also religious issues. There's moral issues. There's so many other things than what we just hear today on economics. We need to go back and see that we were founded in this nation. Four clauses of the Declaration say that they didn't want activist judges. Two clauses say they wanted to end slavery. We have clauses over preserving the right to have Bible societies and other religious exercises. So as Christians, we need to know our history. We don't need to just go with what we've been taught. We ought to go back and read the documents. It's one thing to be taught what the Bible says. It's another thing to read it. So I challenge you. Follow up on what God says in the Scriptures. Know our history. Recall the former days. Let's go back and look at some of the patriots we had that were such strong Christians that are leaders that we don't even hear about today. So I challenge you, do some research, go to websites, look at things that will tell you about your faith history as a Christian. It's important you know that so that you know how to behave today.
Welcome to City on a Hill Radio Show. We're so glad you joined us today. I'm Barbara Moore, joined by Diana Cruz. And we're going to be hopefully talking with John Rice. Diana, you there?
Yes, Ms. Barbara. Well, can you hear me?
Yes, I can hear you.
Okay. I am trying to get a hold of our guest. We're having a little technical difficulty, so I hope you'll forgive me for this, but if you don't mind, would you start us off in prayer, Miss Barbara?
I will. I would be glad to. It would be my pleasure. And what a privilege it is to start the show in prayer. Let's pray together. Dear Heavenly Father, we're so grateful to you, O God, for our freedom that we have enjoyed through all these years, Lord. It is a gift from you, and you have us establish government to protect that freedom. We're grateful, Father, that freedom is your idea and you are the author of freedom. It is a beautiful, beautiful thing. I pray, Father, that more and more we Americans would grow an understanding of what a precious treasure we have here in this country with our freedom, and that we would be actively pursuing knowledge to learn how to protect that freedom, how you desire us to protect that freedom. And Father, I pray that we'll be looking back through our founding documents written by our founding fathers and all the way back, Father, to the Bible that they read, that they believed, and that they established a government based upon those principles that they read and understood from the Bible, your word. We thank you for this time to be together on the radio show. We pray, Father, that there will be many listeners with hearts and minds open to and receptive to your truth. And, Father, that we will have a growing love and passion, O God, for freedom, this gift of freedom you've given us, and that we will actively protect it, Lord. And we pray this in Jesus' precious and powerful name. Amen. Well, you know, I was thinking about about this, and I was, there used to be a saying that went through the colonies that resistance to tyranny is obedience to God. And I was thinking about the importance of resisting tyranny, resisting a government, whether it's a king or whether it's a president, a legislature, judicial system, whatever it is, that resistance to tyranny is so very important, because a tyrannical government leaves the people unprotected, totally unprotected. We establish government to protect our God-given right to life, to liberty, and to property. And, you know, the good old Alabama Constitution, that 1901 Constitution, states it this way, that the sole and only legitimate object of government is to protect the citizen in his right to life, liberty, and property. And when the government assumes any other function, it is usurpation and oppression. By the way, that's Article 1, Section 35, and it's a good one to commit to memory. So it'll be on the tip of your tongue when you're talking with your legislators, when you're encouraging them to stay with the Constitution, remain within those constitutional boundaries, and so that you will have that on the tip of your tongue to be able to speak to them about that, to make sure that the laws that they are proposing or the amendments to the Constitution they are proposing are in keeping with the spirit of the Constitution, which I would maintain is right there in Article 1, Section 35. It says it quite well. Or whether it's, you know, the letter of the law. Now, a constitutional amendment means that something is illegal. If it's unconstitutional, it is illegal. And so an amendment would make that illegality legal then. So that's what we're looking at as we approach September 18th and the statewide referendum on the proposal, the amendment that is being proposed. And there is only one issue on the ballot, and that is the amendment to be able to take something like $437 million out of the trust fund and put it into the general fund so the legislators can have enough money to balance the budget. There's no provision for a payback with this proposed amendment, and it's a large amount, and, you know, we would be hurt to and taking it right from the principal of the trust fund. So it's a very serious matter. Yes.
We are joined by Mr. John Rice. We have got him
praise
on
the Lord.
After all. And, you know, I always think, you know, when we have these problems, it's because it's going to be a very important.
That's right. That's right. Now, Diana, let me ask you something before we go any further. I don't show him showing up on the switchboard, but that's okay by the way it was done. Isn't that correct?
Right. He's on my end, so this is fine, Mr. Okay. Rice. I'm going to go ahead and ask him, Mr. Rice, how are you, sir?
Just doing fine.
Well, we're glad you're on. We hear you are informing the people of this very important issue, and if you don't mind, just introduce yourself a little bit to them so that they'll know why this is so important.
Well, this is one of those smoke and mirrors type of votes that we're faced with, and seeing one thing doing something else. The proclamation that government is being cut by the legislature, actually the government is being cut by our beautiful Constitution that says we must balance the budget. And because there is no more money coming in, then the balance the budget trick is you can only spend what you take in. Now,
amen.
Year, just kind of like most of the business that I deal with on a daily basis in my real estate practice, I've been in business 38 years, and we don't normally spend more than we take in. So this legislature has passed last year's budget, which had a bunch of cuts in it. The cuts were there because there was not enough money to support the state in the style which it had become accustomed, including bloated salaries, a legislature that was spending money that would make most people ill, a state motor pool full of vehicles that they shouldn't have, state agencies that should have been combined, rules in Medicaid that should have been changed, Medicaid fraud that should have been investigated. Now, the legislature last year passed a budget that was in line with the projected revenue. This year, they did not. They passed a budget that they know is about $150 million out of balance. Knowingly, put a burden to the taxpayers that say, well, if you want to vote yes on September 18th to steal money from the future, take money out of this trust fund today. That is stealing money from the future in two ways. If you take the savings out of the trust fund that has been invested and has brought income to this state for years, we will no longer have that income.
That's right.
So therefore, the general fund will be depleted in years after the next election cycle. Isn't that convenient? That the guys that would be standing for election, Dr. Bentley knows this, but he doesn't want to talk about it in a statewide manner in which we were able to discuss Amendment 1. I made 45 public debates in 2003 against Amendment 1. 45 debates. That means where two people are talking at the same time answering questions. I've not been afforded one opportunity to have a debate in an open court of public opinion concerning this matter. The reason why is because they don't want to put the numbers out that are the true numbers. Nobody wants to talk about the money that Medicaid spends or the number of high-salaried state employees that might have to justify their very being. So they have shrouded this thing and scared hospital workers and school teachers, people that are just out there doing an honest day's work for an honest day's pay. And they're trying to scare them into believing that if they don't vote for this, that the whole financial world is going to fall apart in the state. Well, Ed Richardson, who was the doctor of education, who was the school superintendent back in 2003, got on statewide television and shook his finger at us and promised us, the voters, that if we didn't pass Amendment 1 on September the 9th, 2003, that schools all over the state would close and that Friday night lights would be turned off and football games not played. Well, I'm here to submit to you today that not one school closed and not one Friday night game was missed. I don't know how much the voters want to believe all this baloney, but you know what? Let's make an honest budget and lay it out there. They've not given us an opportunity to say, well, if we don't vote for this, exactly who's going to lose their job? Exactly which prison is going to close, exactly which nursing home is going to close, exactly which line of employees at the hospital are not going to be reemployed next year. They haven't done that. This is the usual scare tactic of big growth Republicans, okay? The Republicans that we thought that we elected, and I'm a former office holder. I served in the state house. I served in the House of Representatives, and I served in the state Senate. Been out of office 22 years. And it seems like all I've done is fight to keep the burden of government off of businesses back ever since I left there. And we cannot continue to fund government at the levels that they want to be funded at. And if we steal from the future, raid the trust fund, further destroy the good safety asset base of this state in order to fund salaries, that is exactly what Bob James and George Wallace tried to stop from happening when they set the first and then the second trust fund up. Now they're merged into one.
That's right.
There's no justification for this. None. this scare tactic put out by this Keep Alabama Working Group that says that voting for this amendment will keep this number of people employed, keep these number of okay, really? Show me the math. I'm just an old scientist. Show me the math. Let me do the addition. Because every time I have been faced with some of this before, they don't want to show you the math because they can't prove it.
Well, Mr. Rice,
they can't prove it is because they haven't combined the state agencies. They haven't changed the rules in Medicaid. The reason they don't want to change the rules in Medicaid is because if they do, they'll upset some of their friends that may own some of these institutions that are getting tens and hundreds of millions of dollars a year in Medicaid funding.
Let me point something to add to what you're saying so that people will understand also how ridiculous the game that is being played. And I brought it up to Ms. Ella Wozina, and I know I'm on a bandwagon with it, but this is just a prime example. The $100 million bond issue that they passed in this past session, which is going to supposedly fund the tablet, you know, the iPads, whatever, for our 9th through 12th grades, which I saw Fox News really promotion of, you know, computerization, you know, which to me, wait a second, everybody needs to stop. Nationalizing education is not what we want because we know what Hitler did with that. But you know, we passed that $100 million, and you're telling me now they're crying wolf. There is no other way, but where were they when that $100 bond money issue was being passed at the same time that this was also being, you know, passed, that we've got to amend the Constitution because we need more money?
Well, they will constantly say that they've got to have more money to keep services provided to the citizens. Well, that's true. Well, but if we want more services, then why don't we just tax everybody to 100%? And we'll just all live off the government. I mean, that's basically they're saying right now they can't live within their means, so they want to go tap money that was set aside 30 years ago in trust. Trust is a big word here. They want to violate the trust that was established, remove 1/6 of it in order to fund basically salaries. Okay? Well, why don't we have a discussion about these salaries? Let's have a discussion perhaps about maybe some of the administrators or administration's salaries in some of these institutions that are threatening jobs. How many of these $750,000 a year jobs are threatened? Well, they haven't said anything about cutting their pay, have they?
No, they haven't. John?
Yes.
You said they were short in the budget that they passed, which is illegal, isn't it? But anyway, were short $150 million. Well, do they plan on being short $150 million the following year and the third year also? Because it's my understanding that they're taking over $450 million out of the trust fund.
That's what they intend to do, yes. Instead of
3 years, they're going to be short.
Instead of bringing all of this stuff to a head right now, they're kicking the can down the road past the next election, which I hate to inform you, but you can start raising money for a state legislative seat next June. Is that not crazy how quickly that election cycle comes around? So can the governor. He can make an announcement any day that he wants to run for re-election, but he would start raising money a year out from the primary. If our primary is in June, he could start raising money a year ahead of time and go all out with it. So these people are posturing. The leaders are the ones to be to blame. The rank-and-file members of the legislature, they're put in a bind. They're put in a bind because all this stuff was sprung on the legislators the final days of the session when the governor came up and said, well, I miscalculated $90 million. Okay, fine. Well, why do we need $146 million? Why don't we institute some of the reforms that have been offered to be huge money-saving enterprises if we would just institute them? And I'll give you one example. One would be to change the Medicaid laws in Alabama to allow assisted living facilities at a reduced cost to the patient, so therefore a reduced cost to the to Medicaid agency, to allow assisted living to provide some of the services that are now exclusively given the right to nursing homes, only under Alabama Medicaid rules in one other state. Mississippi solved their crisis. They changed the rules to allow a cheaper method of health care delivery. Well, instead of us finding the cheaper way for health care delivery, we want to go raid the future and distrust the past. It's wrong. I don't know. I couldn't have sat around and thought up a way to embarrass the Republican Party more than they're being embarrassed right now.
Well, John, Diana, what you said about the $100 million bond issue that was passed to fund the tablets in the schools in Alabama, you know, they passed that, and then here Governor Bentley says he miscalculated by $90 million. Well, and then, you know, they passed a budget that was $150 million above what they brought in. So it looks like you know what you're saying about the $100 million. They're spending money as if we have it with those tablets.
Well, Ms. Barbara,
that's just one instance.
Yeah, and I also, you know, we've seen with Common Core standards when the state board passed that really the cost analysis was not done until I think a year later. And I'm just really, you know, it's very troubling when you hear what Mr. John Rice is saying. Where are the cost analysis of these bills? You know, the governor missed it. And I guess the legislature did too. Mr. John Rice, who is supposed to be giving us cost analysis reports on these things, on these bills?
Well, the Legislative Fiscal Office gave a responsible report, and they stand by their figures. The budget analysis says that we're out of whack. And here's the illegality of it is just there. Now, whether the courts would interpret a lawsuit about the illegality of it until or before October the 1st, when the budget would actually go into effect or not, I don't know. But here's what will happen is if this thing doesn't pass, we will immediately go into proration. Okay? Now, that means that there would be across-the-board cuts. So instead of doing that, I would imagine that Governor Bentley would call the legislature back into session, and then they would do their job correctly. But if we bail them out, if we bail their spending
habits
out, they are not going back in session, and they're going to kick the can down the road. They're not going to make these necessary cuts in the way that Medicaid funds its liabilities. They're not just not going to do it.
And
it's
right. What is AEA's connection? We understand that AEA is using about $2 million to lobby for this amendment. And, I understand that they don't want the schools to go into proration. But is there any further, like, are they concerned that Medicaid funding to their schools? Because a lot of the Medicaid money does go into public schools.
Let me explain that a little bit, if you will.
Thank you.
I spoke to them about this measure and their involvement. I don't believe they're spending that kind of money. But they are lobbying hard to get it passed, and here's what their justification is. Governor Bentley, early in the year, said that if we can't raise the money for the general fund from existing tax structure, that he wanted to go tap some of the education. Two separate budgets. One that funds education, one that funds everything else. So what AEA is saying, well, don't come over here and steal our money. Go to the trust fund and steal it. And so they're supporting the idea, not because they believe that stealing money from the trust fund is the right idea. They don't want money transferred away from the education budget.
It seems like, what we've heard different percentages of what part education budget is really of the state's budget. What do you know what the true percentage, because I'm thinking somewhere along the way, I think they have gotten a bigger piece of the pie anyway.
We have $7.4 billion total. $6 billion of it is for education.
Wow.
Yeah, and 87% or something like that is salaries of that $6
billion. And so they're wanting to protect their turf. That, oh, my goodness, Ms. Barbara. I hope the listeners caught that.
Well,
you know,
you have to remember, we don't want to do anything that would injure the pay and performance of a classroom teacher. They're the most underpaid people. But, you know, I don't want to fund the expansion of building programs and high-priced administration salaries and to the detriment of teachers. And just like we don't want to see hospital employees threatened and their hospital administrators fattened. I mean, there's a sense of fair play that has just left the house here. I don't even understand the audacity of some of the people and what they're pronouncing here and that they think they're going to get away with. Well, I will submit to you that talk radio and grassroots organizations like some of the Tea Parties and some of the business groups, they're wise enough and they're taking a stand. They're going to say, wait a minute. Stop telling partial truths. And, you know, I'd say stop lying. But some of these people are trying to be nice about it. But, you know, the fact is, if you're not telling the truth, then you're telling a lie.
And well, either way you look at it.
And without talk radio, I don't know what we would do in this state. Because these guys have no conscience about taking the money from the trust fund. They have none. Now, there's a bill that's been pre-filed that would, quote, repay it. Well, who's going to repay it but the taxpayers? We might replace the money that's stolen, but it's got to come out of our pockets, not the nursing home pockets, not the big hospital profit. You know, there are some hospitals that make big profits, and they hide them as under nonprofits as salaries and whatever else they want to, I suppose. But they have cash flow profits, whether they call bookkeeping profits or not, I don't know. But for us, we the taxpayer, to be told all this stuff and us have to take it because we don't have the money to fight back. See, about 9 years ago during Amendment 1, we had an organization that was well-funded by some of the Montgomery associations, and they didn't want to see Amendment 1 passed. Well, now they're basically all threatened by the hierarchy that they either go along or they're going to wish they had. And that's the truth. I've just told you now, that's the truth. Bentley, Governor Bentley himself, who came, obviously, he missed $90 million. He must be a good doctor and not a real good mathematician or his budget people. Budget people did one of two things, y'all. They either are incompetent or they misled him. I mean, what else can you say? Their job is to be budget people, right? And to understand the needs of
that
of all
is their
of these
strength.
Federal
this is what they do.
Yeah.
Sounds like fuzzy math. Sorry.
Well, this is not even fuzzy when they miss it $90 million. And then they come to him a couple of weeks before the session's over and says, oh, all this work we've been doing on the general fund budget all year is of no good whatsoever. You can throw it away and start over. Well, the legislature's almost finished. Everything's been going along. Budgets have been sliced up and pork's been either fattened or sliced thinner, and now all of a sudden we need more money. So they pass a budget that's illegal, and they want us. Here's the way that they're, what they're asking us to do. They're asking us to endorse their illegal move.
Mm-hmm.
The only
that's
way
right.
we can endorse it
that's
is
right.
by voting yes.
And Mr. Ryan,
they're wanting us to bail them out.
And quit threatening the workforce of this state, the people that go out there, the nurses, the staff, the doctors, the teachers, quit threatening people with all this.
And, Mr. Rice, too, you know, we were talking, Ms. Barbara, about, you know, this has got to be a perfect ploy because why in the world they would put this amendment by itself when there's other upcoming votes coming up on others? You know, they're really hoping that the public does not get wind of it and, you know, only their side comes out. So I hope people are listening because I think either way, if we're going to be had, I mean, there's too many sides fighting for that money, and not all of them are thinking clearly, unfortunately. And I'm hoping we, the people, can, you know, at least look out for our children's interests. And one of the things that bothers me is all this money being thrown to education. And Mr. Rice, education's not getting better with all that money being thrown. So the teachers are not getting it. We're being asked to buy more supplies for the children. So, you know, that money is being wasted. And like you said, it's really top-heavy. It is time for Alabama to address, you know, that problem.
Well, let me tell you something that happened to me over the weekend. I was talking with a guy that's a former executive of a large corporation here in Alabama, and he called me and said, "Hey, you know what? Why have you not been able to draw all the dollars out, you know, exactly like we did before on Amendment 1? And I said, "Because they don't have them. And they certainly don't want to share them with me, of all people, much less the general population. And they don't have the exact dollars." And he said, "How can you run a state, as I ran a corporation, without knowing, you know, pretty close which department needed to get which money and on what date?" I said, "Oh, they know. They just don't even want to talk about it. Because when the truth comes out, they don't need the money." So how about that?
Hey, John.
This guy totally agreed.
Are they also threatening the state employees with loss of their jobs?
Of course they are. They just
and hospitals.
That's the way they operate.
I have a question. Was Forever Wild funded this past year, and do they have any part in this pushing this amendment?
Some people that are proponents of Amendment 1 may be taking a position on this, because if this fails, then people are going to be drawing very close attention to what the amendment meant to the trust fund in general. You know, people that are for Forever Wild, some are for this amendment, some are against. And I personally do not want the trust fund used anymore other than to support general fund services. That's the way it was set up. We've amended it a couple of times here in the state. We, the voters, have. We've been asked to amend it more than that. But the real problem is this. The trust fund has a limited amount of money, okay, and revenues are dwindling. So if we go in and spend it all now, there'll be nothing left to draw income from. It's not yet set. But Forever Wild people are split on this particular one, and some of the early proponents of Forever Wild are no longer even in favor of additional funding for Forever Wild. And it's real simple. Why? The taxpayers have spent 20 years buying private land for public use. The problem is, it's not being used very publicly. And so Forever Wild's got its own set of problems.
Right.
But we will tap additional income streams. And this vote that we're looking at doing next month changes the formula drastically for the way that revenue is accounted for. I'm asking everybody to vote no. Let's make these guys go back to the drawing board and come back with truth, which they can do. These are bright people. These people are not dummies. They're our friends. They've been put in a hard spot, and we need to give them the ammo to tell their leadership, "Hey, this is not a good idea. Let's don't steal from the future. Let's don't deplete the resources of the future and that future revenue income stream that we're going to get from these investments and spend it on salaries today just to placate a few of the association's lobbyists." That's what it's come down to.
John, originally when the trust fund was established to make money that we would derive as a state, we would derive some income from it, was going to help to keep the cost down in Alabama for the taxpayers, right?
Of course. It keeps the actual cost out of the taxpayer's pocket at a less amount if we're using the income derived from the investment side of our trust fund, which has been enormous over the last 30 years. It's been such a wonderful thing. And, we, of course, Alabama gets criticized by the liberals that our taxes are too low. Well, our taxes are low compared to other 50 states, but they're high compared to my pocketbook and yours. But one of the things that's helped us fund some of the things that we've become accustomed to is the income derived from the investments of this money, which we've had, it put in trust. $2.4 billion now it's built up to. It comes from several sources, three main sources. One is the original lease payment that the big oil companies gave us in order to drill for gas, natural gas, and oil. That was two big payments. And then the royalties that we share in from those natural resources being depleted daily, hourly, minute by minute. Okay? Well, the money that comes from those royalties goes into the trust fund to go along with the $800 million that we had to begin with. Well, that money has built up through the years because if we deplete the natural resources, the trust fund was set up that we take the money from the depletion and put it in trust for the citizens of Alabama in perpetuity.
Mm-hmm.
Then we've
forever
been able to take part of the income from the investment of all that money and fund general fund services as well as some other stuff, including Forever Wild, and put part of the money back even into the corpus, that is, the body of the investment. So it has been a great and wonderful thing. In fact, people all over the country have bragged on Alabama's investment strategy of keeping its non-depletion to minimum. Now,
that's right.
Along comes this legislature, and they want to change it and raid and take a sixth of it to basically fund, the government in the style to which it's become accustomed. Well, I say this. Most of us in the business world have found other ways to get by. The government needs to do the same thing. And the governor
keeps saying John?
That he and the legislature have cut the budgets. They didn't cut the budgets. The Constitution, that beautiful 1901 document, cut the budget because it said it must balance. Now what have they done?
That's right.
They passed an unconstitutional budget. Oh, my goodness.
And they need to be held accountable for that. But, John, if we raid this trust fund, we are stealing from ourselves. We are taking, taking money out of our own pockets. And
Robin Peter,
people have got to understand that. We're stealing from ourselves.
That's correct. We're robbing from Peter to pay Paul, and Peter and Paul are twins living under the same roof.
Mr. Rice, too, the Obamacare, the Medicaid expansion and all that, I'm thinking that is also going to be a death toll. So really, you're talking about they're taking a half a billion, almost, of a $2.5 billion trust fund, and then comes along more spending because of more, state-mandated spending that we're going to have to do because of Obama. So really, you concede in your lifetime that there's not going to be an Alabama trust fund.
Well, we need to protect it with everything we've got. And here's the ridiculous thing about us not going ahead and taking a stand like Florida and Texas have and saying no to these health exchanges. No, we don't want to expand Medicaid in our state because all it is the federal government printing money that they don't have any basis for. There is no money. Federal government's broke. They're trillions of dollars in debt. So they send us printed money, tell us to raise a sixth of it, and then we can spend it on stuff we don't want to spend it on. The other states have said no. Why does Alabama not get in concert with the other intelligent Republican governors and just go ahead and say no? You're not going to break us by making us spend money that we don't want to spend. And Texas has done it. Florida's already done it.
Governor Bentley began cooperating with Obamacare, I think, from the get-go, because when Chief Justice Malone was his chief of staff, he had him working on the health exchanges for and all of the Medicaid expansion to include many people who are not in poverty, to redefine and expand, broaden the definition of who is eligible. And
that's correct. And what that would do is break this state. That's what it would do. Universal health care for the state of Alabama is what is being defined as. And we can't afford that and shouldn't.
Well, they're breaking us with more than one way, and we're thinking the Common Core standards, too, Mr. Rice, is another one of those, because that's another mandate that, you know, we really don't have the money to keep it up. And that $100 million, that's really part of the plan, really, because that's a requirement. It's, they've got to have this computerization, you know, that is a requirement. So they've got this $100 million really for that. Not for our kids, but really as part of the requirement for Common Core standards. So I'm hoping more of that will come out in the future. But, yeah, they're giving us every which way.
We're absolutely in a pickle. Yes, there's no question. And it's up to us. It is so up to us, y'all, I can't even explain it. If the average middle class and poor middle class, which most of us business owners are now, I know many of my contemporaries that run their businesses and don't take salaries. They've lowered their standard of living in order to keep their employees busy, get them paid, and hope for a way and a solution. And I also know many that have closed their doors. Well, if stealing from the future to fund Medicaid is a good idea, then I want to be out of good idea business. It is a bad, bad plan.
Well, we hope that the listeners would speak to some of their people and, you know, their congressmen and women, and let's just, you know, fight this together with really some sanity is what you're trying to say, Mr. Rice, because the figures are there. If they'll just open their eyes and from what they've heard from you, you know, you have got to be very stupid not to realize that this amendment is a bad thing for Alabama.
That's right. Yes, it is a very bad thing. And for us not to stand up and fight back makes us part of the problem, not part of the solution. I mean, we have to. This is, I spoke with my minister about it today. I feel very strongly about this. I have to do this. I cannot just sit by and idly watch our taxpayers be lied to and stolen from. Without a fight. Now,
if they
rob from the future and they vote in favor of it, at least they should have been informed as to exactly what they're doing.
That's right. The legislators are saying that there is no other way. They're saying that this has to be done. Those who are for it, they're saying it has to be done, that there are no options, that this is the only way that they're going to be able to balance the budget.
Well, I'm sorry that they're either not saying it correctly or so misinformed, but this is not the only way. There is a group that was put together, and it's a 15-member commission on making government more efficient in the state of Alabama. They issued a report back in the early winter, January or February, and the legislature has not adopted it, and the governor won't talk about it. One of the things that's in there, oh, yes, ma'am, and this is the reason they don't want open debate. They don't want to be on the stage with us. They learned their lessons 9 years ago. If they don't tell the whole thing, then they can get away with it. But here's the deal. There are 51 issues in that report that need to be addressed. One of the issues is that part that I told you that saves $28 million the first year, and that is allowing assisted living facilities to further extend the care for long-term under Medicaid rules. We're one of only two states in the entire country that doesn't do it. Now, why is that? I'll tell you why. Because the nursing home lobby is very strong, and they've been contributing, I understand, to the 2014 fund, if you're familiar with that. If you're not, you need to go find it on the Secretary of State's website. And they're buying influence. So what do the poor citizens in Alabama left with? How do they buy influence? Well, you got your chance. Call September the 18th, vote no.
That's right. That's right. Each of us have a vote.
Is there a website, Mr. Rice, for what those 15-member commission have put down as ways that we can make government more efficient?
The governor won't release it, won't talk about it. And we're getting kind of a little bit sideways on this issue. I would really like to get this into the public stratosphere, and hopefully in the next few weeks we'll get there.
Wow. Well, we need to get it before September 18th, don't we?
Oh, well, yeah. I think now the demand of this thing is going to get really high, and perhaps maybe we can force these people into coming clean. But if nothing else, why have we not saved the $28 million? If nothing else. Can anybody please explain that to me? Let's save the $28 million and reduce the need of government. Does that make any sense?
The power is the lobbyists, and there's a lot of different lobbyists, nursing home lobbyists, education lobbyists, hospital lobbyists, and poor old citizen. Yeah, poor old citizen. We're in trouble. So, but Mr. Rice, thank you.
Pat your teachers and nurses on the back. Thank them for the job they do. And let's caution everybody that this whole mess that they're promising is going to happen just is not going to happen. It's just they're just not telling the truth. Now, one of the pharmacy rules has changed recently to allow unlimited number of non-generic drugs to be filled under Medicaid.
Would you say that again, please?
Yeah, the Medicaid rules have been relaxed in Alabama to allow people to have their prescription drugs filled under the Medicaid plans, and they don't have to use generics. One of the people
they can use expensive drugs.
Yeah. Yes.
When did that happen, and who did it?
The Bentley administration did it, and that notice was sent out about 3 weeks ago.
Okay. That's great. When we're facing $150 million that the legislature has budgeted for that we don't have, and he made this decision 3 weeks ago, it's going to dramatically increase our Medicaid reimbursement?
Yeah. The pharmacist that called me said he thought that it was designed to break the system so that they could prove the need for the money better.
Uh-huh.
I mean, these guys never stop. They never stop. You know something?
That's unbelievable. I mean, that is so unbelievable. That in this economy that our governor would do this, it is so wrong. It is so wrong. We all use generic drugs, and we're not on Medicaid. We do it to save money. And there's no reason that Medicaid recipients shouldn't take generic drugs.
That's correct. But, see, this whole system is set up kind of odd. Talking to a pharmacist about 2 weeks ago after I had gotten this information, and he told me, he said, if the doctors that worship Medicaid would quit prescribing so many medications that they didn't need to, like prescription Tylenol, that we might could get this thing under control. He said, I think some people just don't want it under control.
Yeah.
I said, well, I don't know.
I think so, too.
I don't know where the drug companies fit into this and all that. But it's such a mess. And the only way that we have ever figured out that we could get people to act honestly in these budgets was to make them do spreadsheets and hold them to it. What's wrong with that? That's what businesses have
There's
to do.
There's nothing wrong with that. Let's do it. How do we do that, John?
Well, let's get the governor's attention. 242-7100 is his telephone number. And those some of these issues that a lot of people have more knowledge about than I would, they're certainly in line to call the governor's office and say, hey, let's talk about these issues that this commission report says should be done. And why are we not allowing assisted living facilities to participate in Medicaid and lower the cost of long-term care in Alabama, as other states have done?
Assisted living facilities are not allowed, Medicaid dollars in Alabama are not allowed to go into assisted living facilities. They're only allowed to go into the nursing home facilities. Is that correct?
That's what I was told as recently as yesterday. How about that?
Wow. That's wrong. I mean, that's just, you could save a lot of money for our state.
$28 million, according to this commission report, and I'm quoting Gary Palmer, who served on the commission, and he is livid that the governor's office has ignored this whole thing. Gary is so upset. Gary is the executive director of the Alabama Policy Institute, a very conservative think tank in Birmingham, who has a board of directors that he has to answer to. And Gary and I have talked about this numerous times. He's been on numerous talk shows, been to numerous civic clubs, and continues to derail on the fact that, hey, if you don't institute the cost-cutting measures, why do you even have the guts to ask the citizens to raise the trust fund? And if one sentence kind of sums it up, that's it.
Yeah.
Guy told me yesterday, asked me yesterday, he said, well, how can we keep the Constitution clean and the budget protected if we do this? And I said, we can't. This is an absolute, it's a demonic approach to funding government. It is a terrible, terrible way to fund government. Is out of these trusted revenues that 5 former governors have protected and hundreds of legislators and millions of voters who voted an amendment to the Constitution twice to put this money in trust. And now this legislative body and this governor wants to violate that trust. I'm just opposed to it, and I hope you are too.
Well, we are. We're definitely opposed to it. And we will do everything we can to inform people and get them to the polls to vote against it on September 18th. And we're going to begin calling the governor's office, asking for a release of the commission report, the 15-member committee that was charged with the daunting task of making government more efficient. And there are 51 issues in that report, but the governor will not release it, and we want it released because we want those measures implemented instead of stealing out of our own pockets when we raid that trust fund.
Oh, indeed. And also the brochure, we need a little flyer. Mr. John Ross, do y'all have something already? I know Ms. Barber did one yesterday, and we thought about putting this very good, simple flyer that she did. But do y'all already have something?
Right. We're not going to put one out until the end of next week. Okay? That'll be somewhere around August the 29th or 30th. And it will go out statewide in a press conference.
Oh, awesome.
Okay.
We will get it to you as quickly as we can get it. And everybody should go to work on informing themselves, not believing me, but you can certainly follow up on some of the stuff I've said today. And you can find out an awful lot about it by talking to people that you trust, and I believe you will be enlightened to vote against it.
Well, we must. Well, I mean, they're raiding our past trust fund. And I'm sorry, Ms. Barbara, go ahead.
Well, Diana, I just wanted to make sure that everyone in Southeast Alabama knows that John Rice is going to be with us at our roundtable group this coming Sunday. It's August 26th at Westwood Presbyterian Church on Highway 84 West from 2 to 4 p.m. So I hope everyone will come and meet John and hear more about this, and we'll discuss other matters as well. But I think this is going to be the hot topic of the day. And we need to rally around it. You know, here we have a change in the legislature after over 100 years, and perhaps what we did after getting a new legislature and electing some conservatives and many Republicans, maybe we sat back a little and thought we didn't have to guard our affairs so closely, but this certainly shows that's not the case. It has to be a way of life for us to be vigilant in guarding our liberty. So we're going to be doing that. Thank you.
Wow. Well, that's great news. Thank you, Mr. John Rice.
I look forward to next week. I will bring printed materials and website references for y'all next week,
Sunday.
Thank you
so much.
God bless you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Wow. Well, Ms. Barbara, that is exciting that he's coming and people can talk to him and hear him some more. And, you know, I'm so glad he's making that stand. And because from what he just shared, you know, there's really a lot of big hands trying to get at Alabama's future, and I'm still really shocked, and I hope that this will be part of the question in people's mind is, why in the world, when we're out of money and having to steal from an Alabama trust fund, would we put forth additional debt of $100 million at the same legislative session?
Well, you know, it's unconscionable that the state legislature passed an illegal budget. That is illegal, and it can be challenged in court. And they're hoping to be able to get the money, quote-unquote, borrow the money out of the trust fund, but they're taking it out of the principal. They're taking it away from our children, our future here in Alabama. And they're taking it away from us and our children in order to cover their tracks, because what they did was illegal, Diana.
And I think this special session for just this one amendment, when there's others coming up for a vote also within a month or so, I mean, $4 to $5 million for a special, you know, vote on this constitutional amendment away from the others. My goodness, so much is falling into the hands of those who are wheeling and dealing. So, Ms. Barbara, I guess
we know why they had to have the election now, because what they did was illegal. And if that is not covered by the end of September, the end of the fiscal year, they will be, I don't know whether they'll be held in contempt or what, but it is definitely an illegal act.
Wow. Well, it sounds too much like the Nancy Pelosi Obamacare. We'll, you know, pass it and never let you know what's
right.
In it.
That's right.
Not funny. I'm just terrible to keep from crying, but anyway.
We always like to close in prayer, and we're at the end. We have less than a minute, actually. Will you close us in prayer and close us out, please?
Oh, sure. Thank you, Ms. Barbara. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, we just thank you for this opportunity. We thank you, Lord, that, Lord, you give us wisdom. We thank you for Mr. John Rice and, Lord, how he cares about the people of Alabama and really this nation and the future generation, his posterity. Lord, we all should care too, Heavenly Father. And, Lord, we pray that you'll help us to, Lord, brush up on our Constitution, honor your gift of the United States of America, Lord, so that our children and our children's children will continue to live in this great nation. And let us stay the land of the free. Help us, Lord. Forgive us where we fail you. Help us, Lord, to remove the blinders. Help the teachers, the hospital workers, administrators, Lord, politicians, leaders in our state, Lord, consider, Lord, that there is hope. There are things we can do. We do not have to steal from our children's future. We thank you, Lord,
right.
And we ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Well,
amen. Thank you, Diana. And
Awesome.
Listeners, share this podcast with your friends and family at cityonahill.tv and let them become informed and aware of what's going on and be able to do something about it. Thank you, Diana.
Oh, thank you, Miss Barbara. Goodbye.
Bye-bye.